Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. As the Lord has given it. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just come before you, Father, with humble hearts and open minds, ready to receive whatsoever it may be that is on your mind, that is in your mouth, from your mouth to our ears. Father, I yield my vessel, my mind, my mouth, and my members to the word of the Spirit of the living God. Father, I pray that as I prepare to decrease so you can increase, Father, that even that in which I have planned to speak before your people today, I pray, oh God, that you will arrest my mouth, that you will release only the word that you have for your people today. I thank you, Father. I consider it truly an honor to be your servant. I consider it an honor to be your daughter. I consider it an honor to stand before your people, to be entrusted, oh God, to create a safe space for those that are called according to your purpose. I just say in this hour, in this day, that we will yield to your will, your way, by your word. That we will not deviate, that we won't move, we won't shift, we won't look to the left or the right, but we will look to the hills, which cometh our help. Father, we thank you that we are firmly rooted and immovable in Christ Jesus, that there is nothing that can sway, that can take us from your love. And as I prepare to pour out, Father, I pray that the hearts and minds are ready to receive the grace and the mercy of God. For fresh and new mercies are renewed every day. Father, we repent. Well, we have not sought you and we sought the plan for ourselves over your plans. For your plans are better, greater, bigger, higher, more magnificent, more marvelous than any plan that we could conjure up for ourselves. Father, may we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. There is no one that is too broken, that is too broken. I know a lot of people don't come to Christ because I'm waiting till I get myself together. I'm waiting till I got the right outfit. I'm waiting till the right Sunday. I'm waiting till I clean myself up. But God says, come as you are. Just as he met the woman at the well. Just as he met Moses in a cave. He will meet you wherever you are. You better know it. He will pick you up, turn you around, set your feet on solid ground. Broken, busted, disgusted, all of the above. God is a perfecter of the broken one. Matter of fact, Paul wrote almost most of the New Testament, and his life before that was not holy and sanctified at all. Everybody has a past, but God will meet you right where you are. Father, we thank you. We come together on one accord, in unity, in power, and in love in your presence. And we say, have your way. Amen. Woo, Thank you, Jesus. Hi. How are you, family? Good to see y'all again. Today's message, buckle your seatbelt. Y'all better be glad I ain't got no cymbals and no drums, because I get hype. I'll be hopping and skipping and doing cartwheels all over this platform. I just love the Lord. I love worship, and I love the sound. The sound of the mighty rushing wind. The sound of the presence of God sweeping and filling the room. The hairs on my body just stand up, and I can't help but bow. I can't help but bow. In the name of Jesus, how can you stand in the glory of God? How can you stand? This church is already known for bended knees and bowed heads. You come in this church, you don't know if anybody's here, because everybody's on the floor. From the front to the back, from the side to the side. Baby, if they didn't put a seat in here, I think we'd be just fine. Because, baby, the door is on the floor, and we've come to learn that in this ministry. That the door is truly on the floor. So, baby, we all about the floor ministry. So come with your tallit, your cover, your modesty cloth, your blanket, whatever you need, and get before the Lord. Today's message is leave it in the water. It's a baptismal, so I said, Lord, it's almost like resurrection services, you know, like Easter. Do we gotta preach the same sermon every year? I don't. I sit and wait and let the Lord give me fresh and new revelation. But today's message is called Leave It in the Water, Breaking Free from Fear, Shame, and Your Past. Breaking free from fear, shame, and your past. If you would like to read further on your own time, because it isn't Bible study, though I am a teacher and I love to teach line upon line, precept upon precept, for the sake of today and us having to get to the water, take me to the water. Take me to the water. I wish I had some drums in here. Take me to the water to be baptized. We mixing some old with the new. Glory be to God, because y'all do know the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament, right? Now, I am a New Testament prophet. I just am. However, the Old Testament is just as important. It is the history. It is the template. It is the blueprint for what we see and know, even in the new covenant that we've received in Christ through the New Testament. So I go back old and new. The Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega. Glory be to God. So if you want to read for your own time, John chapter 5 is the chapter, the whole one, you will want to read. Exodus chapter 14, put that down in your notes. Exodus 14 and Romans 6. Romans 6, that will definitely be for you, Alexis. I know you're on duty today, but you'll be back on the replay. She disassembles every Sunday sermon I give. And goes into the word, and she come up with a new one by the time. I'm like, Jesus, can I borrow that for next week? John 5, Exodus 14, and Romans 6. Some people today, some of you in this room are carrying invisible weights that are not visible even to the people that are sitting beside you, but heavy enough to keep you awake at night. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Y'all came in here looking cute with your nice little clothes on, your hair laid, did to the side. But some of y'all didn't get but an hour or two maybe asleep last night. The enemy tossed and turned and ran circles through your mind. Most of what I see the body struggling with is fear and shame, depression, anxiety, addictions, it's a long list here, rejection, regret, Glory be to God. Religion, trauma, and secret sins. And the pressure to pretend that you're okay is heavy. The pressure to pretend that everything is fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with being optimistic. I don't think there's anything wrong with seeing the glass half full instead of half empty. I don't see anything wrong, which I believe to be true, to declare the word of God. Even if you don't believe it, to declare the word until you see it. Most of the world says seeing is believing. I believe it when I see it. But in the word, we believe before we see. It's really not reverse. It's really the template of the Christ follower. Because the spiritual realm is actually first before the natural realm. See, we were raised to understand and believe that the natural realm came before the spiritual realm. But by the word of God, the spirit is first and what we see is second. That's why when you have dreams and things like that, and then it happens, and you're like, I had a dream about this. The Lord told me this last week. I heard this morning. And if you don't take heed to what you hear and what you see and govern it in the earth as you are intended to, as a disciple of the Father, you will see the manifestation of the work of the enemy versus the work of the Holy Ghost. Because we were intended as manifested, created sons in Romans 8 to speak to creation. The Bible says to speak those things that are not as though they were. So I don't care if you feel fear. You don't claim. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says we do not have the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's what the Bible says. So faith cancels fear. And the kingdom currency and the doors to the spirit realm is by faith. We receive. We're saved by grace through faith. It is faith that opens the door of your destiny. It is faith that plants you and puts you in position to speak to creation. And so we are watching most of the church, most of society go underwater. Literally, just drowning. No lifeboat, no nothing to catch them. They just doggy paddling out in the waters. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants something else to stay under. Because the Bible says that that the enemy is beneath your feet. Why is the enemy beneath your feet? Because you are already seated in a heavenly realm with Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. You're seated with him in a realm that is higher than the enemy, who resides and reigns and moves within the earth, the first heaven and the second heaven. But the third heaven belongs to us, belongs to God, belongs to Jesus. And as co-heirs and joint heirs of the kingdom of God, Romans 8, yet again, if you have become a son of God, you've received the authority and the access to this realm with him. And so kings actually are seated. Even in the Old Testament, when you saw the kings making decrees and declarations and speaking to the people, they were seated. They were seated. That's why he says the enemy is your footstool. Because kings had footstools that they put their feet on as they sat on their thrones. So there's a throne in heaven that you are seated in that not only gives you sonship, but kingship, the ability to legislate and govern and make mandates and decree and declare. Matthew 18 and 18 and 19. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That is a decree given to you as a son to legislate, to govern, and to move and manifest himself and everything that's in heaven to move into the earth. And so there are things that should be beneath you, not even in your atmosphere, not even around you, not even in you, not even on you. It's illegal. That's why the Bible says he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It don't say princess. It don't say prince. Anytime you saw a prince in the Bible, the principality, Prince of Persia, different princes, those are principalities. You are a godly principality in the earth. There is no stronghold better, bigger than God. God is a stronghold. So we talk about in deliverance, demonic strongholds and things that hold you down and keep you down. Even today, as we're talking about the things we need to leave under the water, these are demonic strongholds. These are things that belong beneath, below, and to remain below. But what do? We carry the things that are beneath us. We carry people that are beneath us. We go into situations and atmospheres that are beneath us. We carry conversation with people that are beneath us. And this is not a place of self-righteousness or supreme sovereignty or superiority, because the supreme sovereign is God. Big G. We are gods in the earth, the Bible says so. I won't get into that today. There's debate on that. And the Hebrew Israelites have towed that up. But the truth of the matter is, your legislative authority is given to you by Christ, in Christ, his power in his presence, to be able to move and manifest himself through you. Not separate, not apart. John 15 and 5, apart from him, we can do nothing, right? So there is nothing. There's no work. There's no manifestation. There's no nothing without us staying connected to the true vine. That you ain't nothing. My name holds no weight. The Bible also says that Jesus was of no reputation. So guess what? Your family gonna talk about you. Your friends gonna talk about you. People are gonna lie on you. People are going to leave you. People are going to, and you're so busy trying to defend yourself against the lie, the slander, the defamation. When Jesus himself was the Son of Man and the Son of God, they called him everything but the child of God. They called him Beelzebub. They called him everything. They called him everything but Jesus, the Son of God. They mocked, they laughed, they beat him, they bruised him. They did everything. And he was truly the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You over here stomping, you on Facebook? You done left about 12 messages on Facebook? Because y'all don't know who y'all playing with. Because God don't play by me. God don't play by nobody. God didn't play about his son Jesus. But yet he endured. But yet he went through. But yet he was talked about. But yet he was lied on. But yet. And you think, because somebody talking about you, but your old self-righteous, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, sanctified self. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You better watch your step. Again, who is you? The prophet of all prophets. Jesus. The prophet of all prophets. And you out here with your new immature prophet self. Just got a word from the Lord this morning. For the first time in 6 months, you already doing a lie. Because it's got to stop. It's got to stop. We got to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. What? So there's some things that need to stay beneath you. And I'm going to list some of the things that need to stay beneath you just in case you're a little confused, a little hazy this morning. Shame beneath you. Leave it under the water. Addiction. I'm speaking to those getting baptized today. And those that are still in the room that want to be filled again, baptized again. Guilt beneath the water. Addiction beneath the water. Fear beneath the water. Condemnation beneath the water. Your past beneath the water. Water alone will not change your life. So I'm talking to those getting baptized today. This kills the myth that the Baptists love, because they'll baptize you morning, noon, and night every Sunday. But the water does not change your life. There's a lot of people that have been baptized and they just came up with demons. There is a symbolic expression of you leaving the old behind and the new coming to pass. Okay? But there's a transformation that has to take place. Go ahead, let it go. There's a transformation that has to take place, and you have to work out your salvation. So, yes, you're saved. Yes, you have publicly declared that I belong to this kingdom. But when that happened, that's when all hell gonna break loose. Baby, to keep it, just like deliverance. You get deliverance, demons get cast out, all hell is still breaking loose. Why? Because there is a process of sanctification beyond being justified by the blood, beyond receiving God, beyond receiving salvation through eternity, that you got to stand up and fight for your life, for your soul, to stay above water. Remember Peter. When he got out of the boat, a lot of us are him. Jesus said, get out the boat. Come follow me. I got you. Y'all took a step. Next thing you know, you're sinking. Why? Because your faith is wavering. Doubt has crept in. Unbelief has crept in. Distrust has crept in. Fear has crept in. Guilt has crept in. Condemnation has crept in. Now you're sinking. When God has already, because he's so amazing, he defies science and time. He should not be able to walk on water. Not by science and man's standards. And so, when you are living and operating and manifesting the supernatural realm, it's supernatural for a reason. That means it's above the natural. That means you have to be above ground. That means you have to look above, not beneath. That means, are you tracking? Like literally, in order to walk on water with Jesus, you got to A, move in faith, B, walk with him. If you're trying to live and partner with what's beneath and walk on water at the same time, it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. So water alone can't change your life, but Jesus can. So the question is, what's really holding you under? What's keeping you in the sink instead of swim, standing on water? What's keeping you from walking on water with Jesus? What is holding you down? Most people think they're drowning because of what happened to them. My mama did this, my daddy did this, my cousin did this when I was 5, when I was 10, when I was 2.
And this is why I can't get ahead. And this is why I can't do better. And this is why I'm struggling. And this is why I don't have what I need. Because if so-and-so would have did this, if my job wouldn't have did that, if my spouse wouldn't have said this, and we are blaming everybody but ourselves. But the reason why people are drowning is because they're carrying weights. The invisible weights I told you walked in here with, that you're going to leave here at the altar today. Amen. You're going to leave free, flawed and free indeed. Because you're still going to be flawed because you're in flesh. You're still. It's only because of Christ and his righteousness that we are free. It is only because of the work on the cross. It is only because, so the finished works is finished, perfected, and complete in him. So he's the intercessor. He intercedes. He's the reconciler between you and God. So that you can leave and drop those heavy weights. He said, my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. And he also says, lay aside every weight. Because there's a difference between a burden and a weight. A weight will keep you down, barren, bound. So, the Lord told me recently, even as we've been building and expanding the church, he said, Tina, you're going to have to do better about balancing some things. Because my heart is deep. And I cry. I spent most of my day yesterday crying for some of the church members. Crying and praying and worshiping. And there's a burden for souls to be saved. There's a burden for people to find intimacy and real relationship with him. There's a burden in me that is deep. It's deep. People don't see most days. And even as I cried to God, he says, you can care, but you can't carry. You can care, but you can't carry. They got to make these decisions for themselves. They got to decide. Today is the day. I'm tired. Not even tired. I'm tired. I am tired. I am tired of looking at myself every day. I'm tired of recycling this conversation. I am tired of those that are around me bringing me further into bondage rather than into the ascended place with Christ. I am tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted. I am tired of my finances and my bank accounts getting hacked. I am tired. Stand up. Straighten your back. We're not no punks in the spirit. The devil is afraid of you. You're afraid of him. He slipped the lights off one good night. And baby, you done left the house. Your house. You sleeping in the car. How do I know? I went to a woman's house one time to deliver some debt, cast some demons out. She had been sleeping in her car for months. She had not slept in her bed in her room for almost 3 months before I got there. I'm looking. I peeked in her room at the apartment place. Baby, she ain't put a pinky toe in that room. She had taken the mirrors down out of her living room. They were snatching her through the mirrors. I'm looking around like, I wish y'all would. Touch my shoulder and watch how I act up in here. That's where you're touching out my anointed. That's when you pull that scripture out. That's when you pull that one out. I came through. I would start casting this demon out. Her scales came out of her neck. Serpent scales. You was with me. Baby, her whole neck, her canines sharpened. And that devil was fighting. Fighting. But it ain't no fight. You know, and I just get even more hype when they stay around too. I'm tired. I need you to go. I'm not finna be here tussling with you all day. Yeah. My daughter's been with me. Serpents and people running, trying to get away from me. Running to the door. Woo, 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 woo. Trying to get to the door. I told that demon, I said, stop! I ain't finna chase you around this house. That demon say, chasing you is not what I'm finna do. Huh. Where you at, you gonna leave. You ain't finna wear me out this deliverance like a two-year-old child running you crying across this room trying to get you cast out. You gonna get up out of here now in the name of Jesus. Because my name holds no weight, remember? No reputation, no weight. So guess what? People have done lives in Australia about this ministry. And in my head, I'm thinking, I'm just a boutique ministry because I'm watching my words. We ain't small by any means. We are mighty and giant in the spirit. And the devil know it. But I said, wow, you in Australia? Talking about me? They said, leave that man. That devil said, leave them alone. They doing too much damage in the kingdom. Just in case y'all thinking about going to America to get some deliverance, don't go there. Who cares? Do another one. So, don't carry the weight. Some are carrying the weight of rejection from childhood. Some are carrying the weight. They've been carrying it for 20 years, 30 years. Some are carrying addiction they thought nobody knew about. Pornography, drugs, alcohol, their secret sin. Some are carrying church hurt. Church hurt. Jewel, if you're watching, I bless you and I love you and I'm praying for you, son. Jewel came to this church. We went to his job. And he was outside of the dope just peeking. And I walked past him. He said, I didn't know you was the pastor. Yep. It's me, oh Lord. And he said, I said, you're welcome to join us whenever you want. He said, yeah, I'm finna clock out. I'm finna get off work. So he come in the back door. He got his AirPods on. He tells me after the church, his mother was praying him into the room. Because he had not stepped foot. He was fearful. He was afraid. He's like, something different over there. And I want to go, and I don't know why, but I want to be in there. And he told his mama, his mother, his aunties, his family have been trying to get him to go to church for years. But his mama, meemaw for the Baptist church, had gotten victimized in the church. So there was church hurt from the mother, the matriarch of the family. And so since then, he said, church folk weird. They weird, that's what he said, and I'm good. And he had not been there till he came here. Till he came here. His mother prayed him into the room. He comes into the room. He said, Apostle, I've never cried in church my whole life. He said, within 5 minutes of being in the room, I just started crying. I just started crying. I knew the Holy Spirit was in the room, and he's still here. Please keep him lifted. Please keep him lifted. Some are carrying religious performances. You know, they come to church, they shout hallelujah, they run all over the room, they preach a good word, and they cussing before they even get out the door. They cussing, they drinking, they smoking. They sexing. I know some kids are here, but, you know, They doing stuff they ain't got no business. And so people are confused. Is this what church supposed to be? Well, I don't want no parts of that. As a leader and as a minister of the gospel, I have very few peers. Because I didn't come on this side of saved to straddle the fence. My life was pretty decent on the other side. I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't come to God broke, busted, and disgusted. I just chose, and I just never went back. I was 10 toes in the street, and I'm 10 toes on this side of saved. So when I came on this side of saved, and look, people call themselves pastors trying to have Netflix and chill with me, I said, absolutely not. Block and delete. I don't play them games. What are we doing? What are we doing? That's not okay with me. So guess what? You ain't gotta call me, be friends with me, put me nowhere where you at. I'll stay here by myself and do what the Lord told me to do. People talk about me all day. She ain't got no husband. Why she doing that? Why she here? I fear the Lord. I did not ask for this. When I came into the kingdom, I just came because I wanted more of God. I had no idea. Thank God he didn't tell me. Because had he done that, I'd have been like, deuces. My life pretty decent. Catch me on the other side. So when I chose God and he began to reveal the plan, when he first told me about the church 2-3 years ago, who was on the line? You was on the line? Somebody else was on the line? I rebuked the prophet. I said, uh-uh. Why? Because I saw the mess in the church, and I didn't want no part of that. I didn't want to be a part. I said, oh, no. I'm okay evangelizing, casting out demons, going around the corner, online. Okay, yeah. I'm okay with that. Wait. Church? Who me? Hence, we're here. And I said, I rebuked the prophet. I said, oh, no, God ain't told me that. Everybody I got quiet on the line. God came to me. He said, that was me. I don't want to do it. You see what they out there doing? They going to talk about me. Oh, God. Why? I don't even know how to do it. Why plan a church? I don't know. I'm just figuring this out for myself. And I'm just crying. I'm crying. But I have a nonetheless, a nevertheless, and I said, I'm your servant. I signed up for this. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm happy I'm here. Now I have my moments. I'm just being honest. I'd be like, take this cup from me, Lord. But I'm going to be obedient. Through the lives, through the comments on YouTube, through the people that come and leave, and they say, there ain't no woman apostles. Well, explain to me the ceremony I had in heaven that I'm very clear about almost 2-3 years before I was commissioned. Before I was commissioned. I was found doing the work. I was not self-proclaimed. You cannot identify and bring yourself into the fivefold. You have to be called into it. And I was afraid because of my reverential fear for God. Not because I want to trust and believe the title comes with the worst warfare of my life. I lost my job, my kids who came back. Thank you, Jesus. There's one. This one was like, this is cool and all, but I'm finna do me. All right, then. I lost relationships, housing, everything. Left my six-figure plus job. I've been a registered nurse for 23 years and a nurse practitioner since 2015. Making six figures, to literally making $0 and 0 cents. $0 and 0 cents. And the Lord said, you're going to do this work. I've never lived. There was no stamps, EBT, no SNAP, no nothing. Ain't nobody SNAP, Crackle, Pop, nothing in my life. And I went full time because I was part time before. But I went full time in 2020. I'm almost 7 years in. I've not Ubered. I've not Lyfted. Nothing. But I'm going to tell you where I spent most of my time in these 7 years. On the floor. The provision came. He sent people. He said, I'll never forget the day he said, I'm sending you help. I said, thank God, I'm crying in the closet. Help came. Alexis was one of the first ones he sent. Help came. And more help came. And more help is still coming. Glory be to God. To serve God's vision. I am only stewarding this vision. This ain't mine. I ain't got nothing that God don't give me. And what he gives me is for his glory. So I can't take credit for nothing. I don't have nothing. But what he gives me. And I bless God. So some are carrying things they need to not carry. Lay aside the weight so that you can receive the righteous inheritance. And what you're actually supposed to carry in the earth. That's why it's so hard. Because you're somewhere you ain't got no business. You're somewhere you're not supposed to be. You are in the earth for his purpose, not for your own. So you're going to always have warfare and weight and trouble and trauma and situations coming against you when you are not in alignment with God. You can't carry success and you still feel empty. Some are carrying depression behind a smile. You depressed as all get out. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I prophesy even today that depression will leave your mind in Jesus' mighty name. That you will not be double-minded anymore after today, this minute, in this hour, in the name of Jesus. We cast every care and we bind your mind to the mind of Christ Jesus. We bind your will to the will of Christ. We bind your emotions to the emotions of Christ Jesus. And we declare that you are spirit-filled, healed, and made whole now in the name of Jesus. How many of us look free, but we still bound? We look like we can carry and do something, but we bound. Look at Egypt. Egypt and Exodus 14. Israel cried for 100 years. Hundreds, actually. God answered. They was out there slaves. Slaves for Pharaoh. God sent Moses. Moses said, it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't qualified for this. I have murdered and fallen short of the glory of God. He said, no, it's you. You finna go back and deliver my people. So for years they were enslaved. But the chains were broken and the blood was applied and Pharaoh let them go. But freedom, watch this. Pharaoh let them go. After a whole bunch of mess. Not easy. Some of y'all waiting to get free and you're experiencing warfare and you've given up before you've gotten to the end because of what's going on, trying to get free. This is so hard. This is hard. But they weren't really free till when? When did the people really get free from Pharaoh? Anybody answer? Y'all know I'm interactive. In Exodus, when they got to the water, he chased them. So guess what? Your situation is chasing you. You left Egypt. You came to church. You joined. You came to Bible study. but them demons is chasing you. They're chasing you. Pharaoh is chasing you. Pharaoh is chasing you. But they didn't get free until they crossed through the water. The water. It's not even strange that water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We cleanse and wash in the water. The Bible in Ephesians 5 said that the husband is supposed to wash his wife with the water of the word. There's a washing of the bride of Christ that is readying themselves for the return of Jesus as the bridegroom. But guess what? You ain't coming to him if you ain't washed, cleansed, washed, purified, sanctified. So for those that are being dipped in the water today, this is more than just a public declaration. This is more than repentance. This is more than I can now enter the kingdom of heaven to be found a son of God. This is more than put your baptism plaque on the wall. You got to go through the water. But remember, when the people fled, they fled, but they were given permission to, so to speak. But when they got to the Red Sea, it looked impossible. It looked impossible. That's how your journey look. God, how are you going to deliver me from this addiction? I've had this addiction my whole life. How are you going to send my husband? How are you going to help me build this business? How am I going to build this ministry? Because it looked impossible. But understand, God could have just removed the Red Sea or taken them another way. But that's not what he did. He brought them to the Red Sea to take them through. He didn't remove it. He didn't give it. So some of y'all are bargaining with God. There's got to be another way. Surely this isn't the way. This way looks hard. This way looks impossible. This way is challenging. So he brought you to your Red Sea moment. But he parted the sea. The sea remained. But peep though. When I was looking at this, I've read this a million times. Exodus, I started in this when he took me through deliverance and called me to this ministry of deliverance. And I looked at the Red Sea and I said, had they not gone through the Red Sea, Pharaoh would not have drowned. That demon would have kept chasing him. You running from the path that looks impossible, that looks hard, but God is trying to rid you of the demonic warfare for good. Once and for all. Because are you really free if you're still being chased? People are tormented in life. In relationships they've left, in situations they've turned away from, that is still chasing them, and they can't sleep at night. They check in the windows and check in the doors and check in the back seat. Won't me alone. It's still chasing me. But God would bring you to the place of the Red Sea and say, do you trust me? Lift up your rod. lift up your rod. My God, the very thing that looks like your obstacle is truly the place of your deliverance. The thing that is blocking your future is actually the doorway into it. The thing that looks like it's in your way is actually the way. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe it? You said, God told me to go to Texas. God told me to come to this church. I looked around. I said, are you sure, God? Because, you know, I had kind of wanted the croissants they got. And the coffee around the corner. Because I really do like the chocolate ones they got. You know. This is where everybody goes. Because if you go to this church and you're going to hell, not because of the church, you're going to come to this church and still go to hell. Because their hearts are not transformed. There's no conviction. There's no separation. There's no transformation. There's no teaching. There's no cultivating. There's no discipleship. There's no accountability. There's no relationship. Yes, we, y'all always together. Well, we do life together. Why you got a problem with that? We family for real. We are sisters and brothers in Christ for real. We like to be in each other's company. The Bible says not to forsake fellowship. That's the word of God. Why you mad at me? Because we fellowshipping. Go fellowship with your people. Why y'all eating together? Cause baby, we gonna break bread. I'll be right at the table. Pouring. Especially the Cookie Monster right here. What you got? What's on your plate? Maybe you ain't finna eat nothing by yourself. So, the Egyptians, as they fled Egypt, they were more than soldiers. They fled bondage. They fled fear somewhat. Abuse, generational slavery, their old identity, their old master, which was Pharaoh. God just didn't deliver Israel from Egypt. He separated the Egyptians from Israel forever. Forever. Somebody needs to hear this today. God never intended for what chased you to keep chasing you. So don't settle. Because you get tired on the journey. God says that you will not faint. Do not grow weary in well-doing. So you've been working for the church, you've been serving the church, you've been serving God, and you still waiting on God to show up. And you're like, God, is this in vain? Am I doing this for nothing? But there will be seasons where God won't remove the pressure in your life immediately. That's not going to mature you. That's not going to grow you. You don't learn nothing in that place. But I got good news. Y'all ready? 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, please. He uses the pressure to reveal his power. God is gangster with it. This is better than ghosts. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost power. This is that. He don't need no suit. He come in like the mighty rushing wind in the upper room. He's so gangster you can't see him. But you can feel him. You can hear him. This ain't David Copperfield. This ain't none of that. A powerful God that transcends time, matter, and space. That he even can't, listen, he came into the womb of Mary as a seed. He went through every stage of life. He was not even revealed till after 30 years. And some of y'all mad that y'all ain't went viral in one day. Working for God on TikTok. 30 years. And his ministry was short, 3.5 years. 3.5 years. 30 years hidden. We've been plowing in this ministry for years. Hidden. But it's protection. Because in due season, you'll reap a harvest. Because every seed has to be planted, has to be cultivated, has to be matured, has to be watered. In order rewards publicly what you do in secret when ain't nobody looking. Are you really here for me? Or do you want the platform? Are you really here because you want to hug? How many people go to places because of the kingdom couple and the look? And oh, you know, they're going to get you married. You go to this church. It's a lot of men in there. And half of them DL. Oh, it's a bunch of men there. Oh, they're going to get you married there. Oh, yeah. It's a bunch of single men over there looking at other men. Maybe. I digress. Maybe that's not always the case. But discern your why, your motive, your intent, your will. Does it truly align with God? Is this where God sends you, or this is where you want to be? Is this actually feeding your flesh, or is it not? Is this where God called you or not? One thing I can't stand is for the saints to lie on the Holy Ghost. They'll come in this door. I found you online. God sent me here. Baby, a week later, they gone. I said, well, did God send you here or not? Either you lied or the Holy Ghost lied, and one person I know that don't lie is the Holy Ghost. The last ones I saw lied to the Holy Ghost, Sapphira and Ananias, died. They lied and they died. And what you don't want to do is lie to the Holy Ghost. You better repent. You being here don't really add or take away. Because I'm going to do what God called me to do if nobody in this room shows up. I did when I started. It was one person on the live. And I was talking to myself. And the Lord said, maybe somebody will see me one day. But there was nobody there, is my point. And there are seasons where God doesn't open the door. He doesn't. You know why? So why, Apostle? Because he opens the sea. It's not the door. He's not the door. He's trying to take you to your Red Sea moment. He opened the sea for you to walk through. Sometimes God doesn't move the mountain. But the Bible says that if we speak to the mountain and it'll cast it out into the, it'll move from here to there, right? Oh, but the mountain is in my way. But sometimes he don't move the mountain. He gives you what you need to climb it. Mount Sinai. Y'all tracking? Moses met him. The mountain didn't move, sir. You want to know where God met him? At the top of the mountain. At the top of the mountain. So you're looking for the mountain to move, but you need to climb it so he can meet you. But the Bible says, see, that's religiosity. You better discern the time, the season, and the spirit. Because even Jesus, when he went to the mount, right? To the garden, Gethsemane. Do you not think that God couldn't have moved the mountain or any mountain that he was trying to climb, go into? But what happened? He was baptized first. Hear me, those that are getting baptized today. He was being baptized, but he wasn't being baptized because he needed repentance. Because Jesus was of no sin, why did he get baptized? He didn't need to be baptized. There was a declaration and a template being set forth for the kingdom, because you can't walk in nothing that he didn't already walk in first. So he was a man. Hear me. He was a man at the time. He needed the Holy Ghost like you need the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost in the heavens only parted because he submitted to another prophet who was John the Baptist, who came before him, though he was the prophet. Some of y'all ain't meeting the mark because you won't submit. You won't submit to the house. You won't submit to the prophet. You won't submit to the man or woman of God that God is partnering you with by the Holy Ghost. That's the blueprint. That's the template. That's the pattern. You will always have God. Please go to him first. Don't you call the man of God or the woman of God first. You better always go to the Holy Ghost first. That's the hierarchy. There is a hierarchy. It's God, man. God meant always, before your pastor, before your preacher. Any one of y'all got me on a pedestal, take me down. I don't want to be there. Take me off. Kick the podium from underneath me. I don't want it. Christ. People come to me for counsel. My first question is, what did the Holy Spirit say? What did the Holy Spirit say? I haven't went to God. I'll talk to you later. I can tell you this. Now, if the Lord gives me something, I'll give you some instruction. This is what I hear the Lord saying, possibly concerning your situation, but you need to go to him for the revelation. When you get done, fast and pray, come back, I then will be available for counsel. But not before then. So, God will bury your enemy. You best believe that. You best believe it. Bet your bottom dollar. He gonna bury him. Some of y'all crossed into the church, maybe this one, maybe just in general, and fear came with you. You're gonna be delivered today in Jesus' name. Rejection followed you. Pharaoh followed you. Through the spirit of rejection, you accepted Jesus. Rejection followed you. You got married. Insecurity came too. You got promoted. Anxiety got promoted with you. You changed your address. You moved out of state. You moved to the hills. You moved to the east side. But guess what? Trauma moved with you. It's sitting at that new address with you like, how you do? The problem isn't where you've been. The problem is, what are you still carrying? You took it with you. You didn't allow the deliverance and the freedom of the Holy Ghost to be made manifest in your journey. You didn't allow it. The man of Bethesda, he experienced a similar kind of delay in his healing in John chapter 5. For 38 years, that man laid beside a pool. For 38 years in John 5, 5 through 9, you can read that. I'll read it real quick. It says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's 38, just in case y'all think I made the number up. He was 38. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The important man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Think about that. Some of us haven't even lived that long in this room. And this man laid beside the pool. Again, we see what? Water. We see water. He didn't need the pool of Bethesda. The living water came. He watched everybody else get breakthrough. Some of y'all are watching people all around you get breakthrough every day. He had another excuse. Every single day for 38 years, I have no one. When the water is stirred, they get in there before me. And Jesus never asked him, what happened to you? He never asked. Some of y'all got these long, drawn-out stories. Well, what had happened was, and yesterday and the day before, and Apostle, I woke up this morning and my eye was shut. You know, there was a little crust in your eye, maybe. Yeah, maybe it was that. And you still talking about yesterday. You still talking about when you was 10, 15, 21, and God standing there waiting on you and said, will you be made whole? Let this go. Leave it under the water. Leave it under the water. Leave it. Leave it. Stop carrying it with you. Let it go. God had one question for the man at the pool of Bethesda. Will you be made whole? Whole. And I've already done enough teaching about healing and wholeness, but we'll talk more about it if you don't know. So, healing starts with honesty. Not cycling in patterns of the past, but being honest with where you are. And sometimes people have made pain their identity. Not sonship, but pain their identity. My anxiety, I hate that. Don't like it. I try to keep a straight face when people say it. Only because you don't want to connect. If I call out Jezebel, somebody like, oh, she's talking about me. No, because I just told them about a Jezebelic spirit the other day. Oh, apostle talking about me. That ain't your demon. You don't want that. Hey, baby. My anxiety, my addiction, my depression, my divorce, my abuse, my failure. And God is only asking you, will you be made whole? Do you want freedom? Because your struggle was never meant to be your identity. Never. Never. So what happened does not matter. The healer is here. Hallelujah. The healer is here. Yesterday, today, my God. Samankushataya. Today. The Bible says in Romans 6, when we were baptized, we were buried with Christ. You can read 6:1-5 for yourself. It speaks to the baptism of Christ, being dying with him and being resurrected with him. And why do we want to die? Why do we want to be buried? Why do we go beneath the water? He want to preach too. Why do we want to be buried in Christ, with Christ? Why? Because dead things don't keep breathing. Kill it. Kill your flesh. Kill that relationship. Kill that fear. Kill that addiction. Kill it dead. Let a spider come in your house or something. You gonna sit there with it? Nah. You gonna kill it dead. Some of y'all are laying with filth and wondering why you getting up with fleas. Exterminate. Rid yourself of the filth. Remove those filthy garments. Put some new garments on. Wash yourself. Wash yourself. Rid yourself of the residue of the past. The remnant of the past. The remnant of fear. The remnant of failure. Wash yourself. Dead things can't keep controlling you. If it's dead, it can't control you. Depression and fear can't control you if you kill it. Dead things can't define you if you kill it. So even today, as those that are being baptized through the declaration through Christ, this is a symbolic expression of refusing to let the old things live. Your old self. The water is a witness. The Holy Ghost is a witness. The water is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. The water is symbolic of the cleansing and the washing. The water is a witness. The Bible said the Holy Spirit bears witness to what he hears. So the water is a part of the process. This ain't just for you to get a certificate. This is a cleansing, a washing, a removal of old residue and filth. Coming into the new, the newness of Christ. Jesus is the Savior. The water doesn't just wash away sin. Because if that was the case, we wouldn't have a bunch of wet demons. You still need to be delivered. You still need the demons cast out. I saw a meme online one day, and the girl got baptized. Young girl. And she came up, that demon manifested. She came up out that water, and she was like, I put that on everything. Put that on everything I love. I said, there you go. So the Baptist told you, all you gotta do is get baptized. You good. No. Because I watched this. Get out that water, wet. Manifesting. Wet. Manifesting. A mermaid spirit. The marine kingdom. They was probably glad to be wet. Like, woo. Whole mermaid came up out the water like, ooh, I missed this. What just happened? I was looking at the screen like, ooh, clutching my invisible pearls, wishing I could reach out to her. Girl, let me cast that demon out of you. So today, the water doesn't just wash away sin. The blood of Jesus does. Nothing but the blood. Until you washed, blood bought, because I've been washed, and I'm blood bought. Yeah, because, we might have to pull that up. And I'm blood bought. You got to be washing the blood. Washed in the water. But, baby, you better be washed in the blood. Washed in the blood. That's what's going to save you. Not the dip. That's a part of it. right? Washed, filled with the Holy Ghost. So today, we're declaring that those of you today are moving from darkness to light, from death to life, from bondage to sonship. Glory be to God. The greatest miracle that we will see is not just limbs growing out, ears, deaf ears opening, blind eyes opening, but it is our reconciliation back to God. You want to know why? That's the most, because that's eternal. What we see and experience and manifest in the earth is temporal, because these bodies we will rid ourselves of, and we will get new bodies, a new heaven and a new earth. And so you need something that's going to go beyond that. So yes, God can replace your eyeball, put it back in your socket, put teeth in your mouth that you didn't have. God can open deaf ears. He can open blind eyes. But the greatest miracle, my God, is the opportunity to be reconciled back to God for eternity. That goes beyond anything you experience in the natural, temporarily. Anything. Forget your house and everything you like and love. Without eternal salvation, what do you have? So today, I sense there are people here today who have become experts at hiding. You've smiled, you've clapped your hands and stomped your feet, put your Sunday best on, and you're still hurting. You served and you are still bleeding. You've worshiped while wondering if God still wanted you. Safe travels, baby. But the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, He didn't bring you here to leave you. He brought you here to free you. He didn't. Some of us have been surviving, and today God wants to invite you to start living. Amen. Condemnation has already been nailed to the cross. Leave it there. Some of you have been rehearsing failures in your life while heaven has been declaring your future. But today, we declare that it doesn't define you. Today, we're going to watch people go under the water fears. Think about that before you go down. Shame, leave it in the water. Condemnation, leave it in the water. Rejection, leave it in the water. The lies of the enemy, leave it in the water. The old identity, leave it in the water. And when you come up, you will rise knowing that you belong to Jesus. Amen. Some of you came today because a family member was being baptized. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe you almost didn't come today. But I don't believe that you're here by accident. I don't believe in happenstance, and I don't believe in coincidence. I believe the Holy Spirit has been drawing you long before you walked through those doors. Long before. And the same Jesus that called the fishermen and the tax collectors and the broken ones is the same one that's calling you today. And He's calling you to lay your life down. Surrender it. Maybe you have to do it again. That's fine. Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. You fall 7, you get up 8. It's okay. You keep getting up. I'm starting a new weight loss journey. I don't know how many times I done tried to stop and started to stop. But I said I'm tired. By January, y'all, apostle going to be snitch in the best way possible. But more so for my health, not even for the looks of things. I have a work to do. I can't be up here huffing and puffing. You know, I can't get up in age, and I have a work to do. This is for the kingdom work more than it is even just how I look. So I got to shed some more weight that I'm carrying. I'm talking to y'all about y'all invisible weight. I got some physical weight I need to drop. Glory be to God. We're celebrating adoption into the family of God. Today, if you want to surrender your life, today, if you need prayer, we're opening up the altar so that you can receive prayer.
I'm asking you to come, not because Flawed and Free can save you or Apostle can save you, but because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He is the only one that can save you. The water can't save you, but I want you to come because Jesus saves you. Grace is available to you. The water is ready. We're going in the water here in a minute. The church is available. Heaven is rejoicing. And Jesus Christ is still receiving every single person that comes to him. Everyone. Every single one of you. God is receiving. Before we actually go into the altar, I do want to share some of the mission. There's a pamphlet in your seat if this is your first time, because we do have guests in the room this week. Very quickly, I still want to make our prophetic declaration over the mission and the vision of this house and pray your agreement as we continue to build and expand the kingdom of God as we prepare to open the altar. Flawed and Free Church is an apostolic kingdom hub where the flawed are set free, disciples are raised, and God's glory is revealed. Our mission here is that we exist to deliver, heal, disciple, and equip believers to walk in freedom, make whole the mind, body, soul, and spirit, manifest God's glory, and take kingdom dominion in the ministry, marketplace, and families and communities. Our vision in this house is that we envision revival. I am a revivalist. If you don't know, now you know, baby, baby. There's a lot of work that we're doing to prepare the DFW region for revival, restoration, and reformation. Our vision here is that families are restored, generations are healed, communities revived, and nations awakened. We are raising up kingdom leaders, equipping entrepreneurs, and restoring families. A place where the broken find freedom, the healed are made whole, and leaders are equipped to lead. Our foundational scriptures in this ministry is Luke 4, 18, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and Genesis 1, verse 28. Our prophetic declaration, we will read it together. We deliver, disciple, and take dominion. We build people, and our goals are souls. We legislate heaven's will on earth. We restore families, revive communities, and expand globally. We walk in freedom, wholeness, and kingdom authority. We are flawed but free indeed. Turn to the back page. We'll read the prophetic decree aloud together. We decree and declare Flawed and Free Church as a global apostolic prophetic hub, breaking generational bondage, healing families, equipping leaders, and advancing the kingdom of God with power and authority. From local to global, we release revival, restoration, and reformation. Amen. There's some things on the back if you want to connect with us for our service time, our website, if you want to send us an email and stay connected. You can text 833-807-4707. We are now opening up the altar. We're going to prepare to pray.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can cash app us at $flawedfree. on Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.